Thank you, Trevor. I greet each of you in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to do a little bit of a reversal of position, but I'm also going to take what preceded what Trevor talked about this morning. He talked about being mature in the faith and having a love and a respect and a fear of God. I'm going to talk to us about being infants in the faith. And just as a little tease so that I get you from falling asleep real quick, I'm going to share with you a little bit of what goes on inside of me, beginning back when I was 18, and a huge mistake that I made in my life at 18 that I only began to understand 50 years later, and I still don't have a total peace with it today, but I think I'm right in what I'm going to present to you today. We're going to talk about faith and hope. And I want to start off with giving my definition. This is not a Webster's Dictionary definition. It's obviously a much weaker mind that gave this, but it's where I feel like faith is and where hope is. I wrote down that faith is a belief and a trust in that belief because of a desire for and evidence of that belief, but without proof. Hope, it is a desire of an expectation with some level of confidence of obtaining, but without 100% assurance of obtaining whatever we're hoping for. Now, in those two definitions are some real similar type things. One is there is no proof. There's no assurance of what you hope for. There's no proof for what your faith is in. There's evidence, but not proof. There's also a desire for it. A hope you desire for something. Maybe you desire that the Chiefs win today. But it's an unbiased. You are biased towards the Chiefs. In your hope for eternal salvation, you have a bias. You want that eternal life. Never before would I have told you that the definition of faith is that I have a desire for that faith. I thought faith was something that was totally unbiased. You took the evidence and you weighed it out and you've seen, is there more evidence for a God or more evidence for a chance to create what we've got? Is there more evidence of God creating the earth or is there more evidence for evolution? You weigh the evidence. But I was wrong. There is bias in our faith. There must be. And I want to spend the rest of my time here with you disclosing why I say all this. I want to go to Hebrews. Trevor talked about Hebrews 11. That's the faith chapter in the Bible. I want to go to the 10th chapter and begin with verse 34. And we'll get into the 11th chapter just a little bit. Verse 34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. I want to stop there. Paul is talking to the Hebrews, and he's saying that they were kind enough to spoil their substance, the things that they had, their goods, they gave away to help Paul when he was in bonds. And why did they do that? Because in their natural state, they knew that there was a reward in heaven for them. And it was a better reward than they were going to get on earth. And so in themselves, they knew in their selves that it was just natural. God put it there when he created them. And we all have this desire for eternal life. We have a desire to please God. We have a desire to please our parents. It's just in us. Verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye had done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall not have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now we're going to go into chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you see right there that faith is made up from the substance of our hope, and we're going to talk about that. But hope is biased, the evidence of things not seen. That's weighing the evidence. So there's both in our faith, but there is a bias built into it. And now for my story. When I was 18, I was graduating from high school. I had the best parents. They had given me everything that I needed to succeed in life. They taught me what God wanted me to do. They exposed me to the scriptures. They exposed me to church. They set me a perfect example. They did everything I could ask for. And I went off to college. And I wanted to believe. And I did believe. And then I took a course in historical geology, of all things. And that man had a passion for destroying your faith. And he talked to us about all the things that the earth is made up of and how it had to take millions of years. And you were a fool to think that God could create that in one day or 1,000 years or whatever the time frame you put on. It could not have been. It had to take him billions of years. And he spent a whole semester just ripping my faith. Then I took a course in evolutionary embryology, and we looked at one embryo after another embryo and after another embryo, and they all looked the same. And as they developed, then towards the very end of the gestation, this became a cat, and this became a mouse, and this one became a monkey, and this one became a human, but they all looked the same at the beginning. It was obvious that they evolved from each other. And what was going on inside of me? I graduated from high school with lots of evidence for God and very little evidence for evolution. And I went to these professors and they started shifting it, and pretty soon it tipped. And it was obvious. Evolution. Maybe there's a God, and I wanted to believe in God, and I held on to that. But I did exactly what Paul is telling the Hebrews not to do. I drew back. I couldn't talk to people. I could talk to them, but about nothing of consequence. Because the evidence outweighed my belief in God. So, what's the significance of that? Not only is it okay to have a bias in your faith, it's required that you have a bias in your faith. I was just somehow naturally inclined to the scientific method, if you know what that is. But it's where you observe something, some fact of life, something that we're trying to understand, and you look at it critically, and you look at it skeptically, and you try to do it without any bias of what your parents told you or anything else. You just look at this object and this fact, you know, the apple falling out of the tree. You study that, and you try to understand what caused that apple to fall, and you make speculations and hypotheses, and then you do testing, and you collect the data on that, and you try to make a sense out of that. But you do it without any bias. And that's what I wanted with my faith. It works good in science when for humans to know to get knowledge, but it does not work when you're dealing with faith. God has designed this earth so that you cannot prove that there is a God. And you cannot prove that there isn't a God. You can't prove evolution. You can't prove creation. You have to have evidence and a bias. You must desire to believe in a God. You must desire to want eternal life. So why is this important? As I look down the road, I am concerned that there will come a day, an evil day, whether by AI or by Satan himself, there will become a lie as far as evidence, and it will shift. And all of a sudden, we will think, ugh, there's not enough evidence to support a belief in God. There's more evolution and more evidence of whatever is being presented. And if we don't have a bias and feel comfortable in that bias, we will weigh the evidence and shift. Even though it may be a lie, we have to have a bias and we have to cling to that. Now, built into that is danger. You need to know the scriptures and what they say and hang on to that. And we'll talk about that quite a bit here today. But it requires us to pick one side or the other. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is the faith chapter. The Book of Mormon also has a faith chapter, and that's the 5th chapter of Ether. And I'm going to go there for my next reading. It's a fairly long one. I may skip a little bit of it, but I want to read beginning at verse 1. It came to pass in the days of Ether. I'm sorry. It came to pass that the days of Ether were in the days of Coriantumr. Coriantumr was king over all the land, and Ether was a prophet of the Lord. Wherefore, Ether came forth in the days of Coriantumr and began to prophesy unto the people, for he could not be restrained because of the Spirit of the Lord which was in him. For he did cry from the morning even until the going down of the sun, exhorting the people to believe in God unto repentance, lest they should be destroyed, saying unto them that by faith all things are fulfilled. I highlighted that the faith is to believe in God. Verse 4, wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world. And here again, here enters that bias. They with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to the glory of God, led to glorify God. That hope, that bias, is what will give you a faith that is anchored. It's sure and steadfast, and you won't draw back, as I did, into a shell. And I could talk about the weather, but I couldn't talk about my God, because I wasn't sure. And I dare not say something that would hurt my parents. I didn't want to hurt the people here at church, but I struggled inside. And so I just drew back. And that's not what God wants. That's not what Paul wanted. Verse 5. And it came to pass that Ether did prophesy great and marvelous things unto the people, which they did not believe, because they saw them not. The people in the days of Ether wanted what? They wanted knowledge. They didn't want to go on faith. They said, we can't see it. We don't believe it. And that's where I was. Verse 6. And now I, Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would shew unto the world that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. Wherefore, dispute not because ye see not, for ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. For it was by faith that Christ shewed himself unto our fathers, after that he had risen from the dead. And he shewed himself not unto them until after they had faith in him. Wherefore, it must needs be that some had faith in him, for he shewed himself not unto the world, but because of the faith of men, he has shewn himself unto the world and glorified the name of the Father and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they had not seen. Wherefore, ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift if ye will but have faith. Behold, it was by faith that they of old were called after the holy order of God. Wherefore, by faith was the law of Moses given. And it goes on, and I'm going to actually skip a bit of that read because it's getting long and I'm getting running out of time already. I'd like to go to Colossians, the first chapter and the 20th verse. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul is telling the Colossians that they are to have this hope of what? Of being reconciled to God, so that when we come before God, we can be presented holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. But that takes Jesus, his atonement, to accomplish that. 1 Peter, first chapter, we'll begin with verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, and from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. I kind of blew that, but hopefully we can go on. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Christ's life was to help draw us back to God. And it's a belief in God that is founded, that's the foundation of our faith, and it's also the foundation of this hope that it all might be in God. Verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. That is this faith back there in Hebrews, the first verse of the 11th chapter says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is that substance? What's the foundation for our hope that we can have eternal life? It's the word of God. And that's what he's saying in this 23rd verse. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And that was Peter's comments on our faith and this hope. It's founded on the word of God, and it will last forever. I'm going to go to Alma 16, verse 138. Or rather, in other words, blessed is he that believeth in the word of God and is baptized without stubbornness of heart, yea, without being brought to know the word or even compelled to know before they will believe. There is an opposite of having a hope for eternal salvation. Here, Alma refers to it as stubbornness of heart. There is a bias to the opposite way. And that's what my professors had. They had a stubbornness of heart, and they wanted me to not believe in a God. They wanted all the kids in that classroom to give up their belief. But they had a stubbornness of heart. Our brother, D.A., in a sermon a couple weeks ago, talked about this seed that you plant in your heart. And that seed was the word of God. And you see, were to see if it would sprout and begin to grow and to swell in your chest and make more sense. And it explains life, and it gives reason for life, and it gives purpose for life. And if you see all that, then you can know that the word is good. Now, it doesn't say that you can know that there is a God. That takes faith. But you can know that the word is good. And so if the word of God is what we have founded our faith on and our hope on, and we plant that seed in our heart and it grows, then we know that the word is good, and we can be sure in that belief and in that hope. So when the evidence begins to shift in our lives and all of a sudden it tips, we still hold on to the word of God, and we have faith and we have hope in our belief in God and hope for eternal life. And I lost where I was at. I'm going to start with 139. Yea, there are many which do say, if thou wilt shew unto us a sign from heaven, then we shall know of a surety. Then we shall believe. That's where I was again. I wanted knowledge. I wasn't going on faith. Knowledge is when you have lots of evidence and very on one side and very little on the other. And that's what I wanted. I wanted knowledge of a God. I wanted knowledge that he created the earth, not faith. I wasn't content with faith. And it's essential, as we'll get to later, to have faith in God and not knowledge. Having trouble keeping track of where I'm at. 140. And now I ask, is this faith? Behold, I say unto you, nay, for if a man knoweth a thing, he hath no cause to believe, for he knoweth it. And now, how much more cursed is he that knoweth the will of the God and doeth it not, than he that only believeth, or only hath cause to believe, and falleth into transgression. Now of this thing ye must judge. Behold, I say unto you, that it is on the one hand even as it is on the other, and it shall be unto every man according to his work. And now, as I said concerning faith, faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things. Therefore, if ye have faith, ye hope for things which are not seen, which are true. And how do you know they're true? Because you've looked at the word, and you planted it in your heart, and you know that you're a better person. Things are making more sense, and you know that the word is true. And now, behold, I say unto you, I would that ye should remember that God is merciful unto all who believe on his name. Therefore, he desireth in the first place that ye should believe, yea, even on his word. Alma 14, verse 75. But notwithstanding the law of Moses, they did look forward to the coming of Christ, considering that the law of Moses was a type of his coming, and believing that they must keep those outward performances until the time that they should be revealed unto them. Now they did not suppose that salvation came by the law of Moses, but the law of Moses did serve to strengthen their faith in Christ. This is before there were books. This was when there were scrolls. They struggled to ever get to read the Word of God, and they had practices given by Moses from God, and that's all they had other than the prophecies of prophets that came in the interim of time. And I can see where that would be a very difficult time to weigh the evidences. And so they had to go on hope to a large extent. And I could see where people fell away. And the children of Israel did fall away because it had to be an incredibly tough time. But if they stayed with the law of Moses, it says, and thus they did retain a hope through faith unto eternal life, relying upon the spirit of prophecy, which spake of those things to come. So even during this tough time, before the New Testament, before Christ came, and before we had books and Bibles to read and study, they were able to hang on, and the law of Moses gave them the structure. And then they had the word, the prophecy. And so they still had the Word of God in that form. Moroni 7, verse 45. Again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you, that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised into life eternal. And this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith there can be cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that you cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain. For none is acceptable before God, saving the meek and lowly of heart. So it does take faith. Faith requires hope. But there's also an attitude that has to go with this, so that you can attain unto this eternal life. We talked a bit earlier about those that had a hardness of heart, and they would not believe. That's because they were lifted up in pride. Pride is the ultimate of sins, because it puts you above God. And so we have to become meek and lowly in heart, and then faith and hope will work. But without that attitude of being meek and lowly, we're going to become hard-hearted. So what's the practical application of all this? I've written down five things that are most important from my perspective. We are not to be neutral bystanders, standing and judging the evidence and just putting it on a scale and seeing which one comes up and which one goes down. That is not our job. Maybe that's the job of a scientist who's trying to prove that there's gravity. But it's not the job of a Christian who's trying to develop faith. The scientist is looking for knowledge. God says you have to have faith. And so we're not looking for knowledge, even though that is all that I wanted. And why is that I wanted knowledge? Goes clear back to Genesis and the tree that Adam ate, the knowledge of good and evil. Mankind has always wanted knowledge because that makes him God. And that's in us. Just as there is in us a desire to be with God, there's also a desire to be God, and to be in control of our lives, and to be in control of others. And it brings on all kinds of sin. 2, We dare not put our faith on hold while we collect evidence to support our belief. And that's what I did. I didn't do it for just a couple of years. I don't know when that balance actually shifted the other way. But I was well into my 30s. For 20 years, I struggled having drawn back. Started a business. I had a family. And I wasn't true. I couldn't be open with them. I could tell them the bias that I wanted them to have, but I didn't feel comfortable with it. I hope I didn't fail my kids, but they seemed to be okay. But I failed me. I wasn't honest to myself. And it was all because I wanted to be unbiased. But with faith and hope, this bias in our faith, we can be strong and steadfast because we know that the Word of God is true. I'll tell you some of the struggles I had, and I'll tell you kind of then, or I've already told you the struggles I had. How did I come out of that? Somewhere along the line, I read about down in Arizona, there's a layer of sediment that they found a footprint of a dinosaur. And they took and they lifted up this section of sediment, and lo and behold, there was another footprint of a dinosaur. And in the between was another footprint of man. We don't know who was chasing who, but we know that it's all on the same level of sediment. And there was this man's footprints running from the size of the stride, and there was a dinosaur that was running from the stride, the length of the stride. So we know that one entity was chasing the other. We don't know who was in the lead. We don't know the outcome. But man and dinosaurs live together. My professor didn't tell me that. That was discovered in 1949, and he knew that, and he kept it from me. So that professor was biased. He was deceitful. But it sure influenced me and cost me 20 years of being true to myself. I got to reading other books. Got to reading C.S. Lewis. I read Lee Strobel, Josh McDowell. There's some others. I can't think of their names right now, but there's a lot of smart men who are Christian. They can help you. They're deep thinkers. I enjoy reading and following their logic. My weak mind doesn't have the capacity to think like they did, but I can follow their logic. And it's very helpful to see that other people have struggled with this concept of getting evidence. But over the years, I read enough of them that the scale slowly changed and finally tipped in the favor of God. And I thought I was there. But guess what? It only takes AI or who knows what to come up with a bunch of evidence that will shift that scale back. But does that then destroy my faith? It dare not. I can't let it do that. And the only way I can keep from it is to have a hope and a bias in my faith based on the Word of God, because I've let it grow in me and I've seen what it's done for me. 3. We can stand strong in faith, but not proud, when the world presents overwhelming arguments against our God. We believe in a God that is supernatural. Though he typically works within nature's law, he is not bound by the natural law. He is a God of miracles. And so they can give you all the evidence, and they can make it sound like they have proved that there's not a God, but you can't believe it. They're biased, for one thing, as I found out after the fact, but they also can be misled. God will touch your heart, and he has touched your heart, and you know that yet he has had significant influence on you. Four, if an evil, and I think I've already covered this, if an evil day comes when overwhelming evidence comes against our hope of salvation, whether that evidence comes from AI or Satan, we can and we must stand strong and steadfast in our faith because of our hope, because of our bias of our faith. Five, we may not win a debate in apologetics because we may not have adequate knowledge or the opponent may be presenting lies. Either way, we are to stand strong and steadfast in our faith through hope. I hope all this is beginning to make sense to you. I'd like to go to Hebrews 11. That's the chapter in faith. And it's the one that Trevor read from, but I don't think he read this verse. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't have knowledge. You have to have faith. And faith comes by hope. And hope has a bias, founded on the Word of God that you have let grow in your heart. So what is our faith? Paul said it there. King Benjamin said it in the second chapter of Mosiah. I'm going to read it with some liberties taken. I've put in parentheses some words I've added. I've struck out other words. But what is our faith? We believe in God. We believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. We believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. We believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And that is critical, because that allows us to realize that we can't prove that there's a God, because we're man and we don't comprehend everything about God. So you cannot prove that there is one, and you cannot prove there isn't one. And again, we believe that we must repent of our sins and forsake them and humble ourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive us. So what do we base this faith on? We base it on substance of things hoped for. And what is that substance? It's the Word of God. And we base it on evidence. So it's not blind faith. There is evidence out there, but you will never be able to prove it. It will never be overwhelming, so you can't deny it. It will be adequate. The effect, another thing we base our faith on, is the effect and the influence that it's had on our lives and the lives of others and the world at large. Time itself is set from the birth of Christ because it had such a huge influence on the world. We base it on the grandeur and the complexity of our creation that we look out. Every night I get to look out at, because I live out in the country and there's not all this light pollution, and I see these stars, one after another, as far as you can imagine. There are stars. And then you look at one strand of DNA and the volumes and volumes and volumes of information that's stored in that microscopic DNA. That's evidence that there is this grand God who just overwhelms us in intelligence and in faithfulness and in mercy and in love. And then there's archaeological evidence, historical evidence, biological, and all kinds of other sciences. There are evidences that there is a God. But there's no proof. Only evidence. Before I close with this scripture, I want to deal just a little bit with the pitfall of what I've just talked about. We dare not take what we hope for and the evidence we gain and get a faith and just feel like that is good enough for me and go forcing our way on other people. Our faith is our faith. And you and I will stand before God and be judged. But if you try to take your faith and force it on another, it will destroy you and it will destroy the other person possibly. You share your faith. If someone chooses to have a different faith, they stand before God. I can see where we can have a hope and we can build on it and build on it and go off on a tangent that God doesn't want us to. So you have to get into the scriptures with this faith, and you have to know what God says and interpret it properly and work with it and ask God to direct you. And you have to have a meek and lowly heart when you're doing that. Because if you get lifted up in pride and you go off of your hope and your own biases and try to get enough evidence, you can lead yourself anywhere you want to go. And now I close with what King Benjamin said. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. My prayer is that we may all stand strong and steadfast in our faith and be confident in our hope of salvation, even during an evil day of lies and deceptions. I thank you.